and welcome to A Closer Look. I'm your host, Laurie Hackett, and each month we get together, spend some time getting to know leaders in the community, getting to know volunteers who are doing really cool things, and it's just a chance for us to dive into the Lehigh Valley a little bit more and see the incredible work of our nonprofit partners and how they come together to do fantastic things. So joining me tonight, our first guest, very excited about this, listeners, is Megan Van Ravensway. And Megan is the Executive Director of the Northampton County Historical and Genealogical Society. Welcome, Meg.
Thank you. I'm so thrilled to be here. Thanks, Lori.
I'm really excited about it. I've known you for a long time, seen your work, seen the way that you lead with such sincerity, such expertise, such grace, and such a collaborative spirit. Tell us about Northampton County Historical and Genealogical.
Well, it's my favorite topic, so thank you. I happily will. So we are known as the, as you said, the Northampton County Historical and Genealogical Society. That is a very big umbrella term. Mm-hmm. We are the official historical society for the county. We're not line itemed in. I still have to go and get grants and support, but we are very proud to be the official historical society for the whole county. So while we're based in Easton and our Sigel Museum's there, the Bachman, our historic sites in our garden, we represent the entire county and the community. And funny enough, we are turning 120 years old next year.
Wow.
We were founded in 1906.
And you're a nonprofit organization. Mm-hmm. And as you said, it's your responsibility to gather sponsors, supporters, partners. What do you say to them when you are sitting with a company or a funder or a grant maker mm-hmm. about why support this historical organization?
Sure. Well, I'm very proud, like I mentioned, that we represent the entire county. So mm-hmm. while we are based in Easton, we get to talk about Easton and Bethlehem and all sorts of great agricultural rural communities in our county. So it's very easy for us when speaking with a possible sponsor or a possible donor, you know, the thing to do is certainly bring them into gorgeous Sigel Museum. That's mm-hmm. four floors of our entire county's history, starting with Lenape history, going through, you know, conflict era and the war, and going through industry and going all through decorative arts. And you can really help a donor understand our area's massive impact on art, history, and culture. And we're so proud of it. So, you know, if you have a partner like Brown Dobb Family of Dealerships, they're such ardent supporters of art, history, and culture in the community. Just bringing them in, you know, showing folks what we offer, mm-hmm. it's very easy to enter into these gorgeous 10, 20-year, you know, plus long relationships with certain donors and sponsors.
And the Sigel Museum, right on Northampton Street in Easton, that's your main physical building for the historical
society. Great question. We have many structures, actually. So we've got the 1753 Bachman, Jacob Nicholas, Mike Soil Illich. We've got many structures, but you're absolutely right. Sigel is what we call our flagship site. So that's the site. It's open Thursday through Sunday for public guests. But the full-time staff, we're in there Monday through Friday. It's also where the Jane S. Moyer Library and Archives is on the third floor there. And that's the spot. There's the official visitor center of Easton's, our lobby, we have a museum store. So to your point, there's so much activity happening at Sigel. We call it our flagship site.
Do a lot of our local school districts, do they spend time at the museum?
Yes. Yeah. We have a saying that a quiet museum is sinful. Oh. We love when the kiddos are running around mm-hmm. and, you know, when the teenagers are in the galleries. It gives us such joy. That is really when you can hear the museum being activated. And we've got a phenomenal programming and education department, our curatorial team. They worked so well together to create these interactive displays, but certainly for, like you said, the big field trips and after school care, we've got so many different programs.
Well, speaking of, I know there's a really exciting exhibit that's just opening. Could you tell our listeners about that?
Sure. So, of course, we've been getting ready for 2026. Next year is the 250th birthday of America. So we've been working for, honestly, 5 years to get ready for this anniversary year. So to your point, and thank you for that, we had a fantastic exhibit open on September 25th. It's called Read This, The History of Media in Northampton County. It's going to run until summer of next year, so folks have plenty of time to come out and visit it at Sigel. But it explores a simple yet powerful idea. It talks about the parallels in media between the Revolutionary War period and today. So we're diving into the history of radio, digital media, print, publishing, and really comparing it to what's going on today. And the parallels are phenomenal. It really is a fantastic exhibition, and it's just mind-blowing. Every single part of it is so thought-provoking. So we hope folks come out and enjoy it.
Can you tell us a little bit about the exhibition? Is it a hands-on? Is it reading? Tell us a little bit about what people will experience when they come.
Sure. It's all of the above. So when you come and visit, it's in our large Schrin Gallery, which is on the second floor of Sigel Museum. Again, that topic, media and history, the history of it in Northampton County, that could be a museum. Mm-hmm. There's so much there. So what our curators did is just beautiful, streamlined stories that relate back to objects. So funny enough and exciting enough, the first thing that we actually talk about is the Declaration of Independence. And as you know, it was read for the first time publicly in Easton, along with Trenton and Philadelphia. So we've got a whole display talking about that. What do we know about it? And what do we not know? There's a lot of assumptions about that moment. When funny enough, the only thing about it is a very short newspaper article. It's maybe three sentences long that was written, 4 or 5 days after the reading. And it's quick. And that's a world moment, and it's just, just three sentences. It's phenomenal. So to that point, we just go all around the exhibit. People were, can use a printing press to print in the exhibit, mm-hmm. which is quite fun. You have to pull that lever really, really hard. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of interactives. There's a lot of discussions happening. Again, we're going all the way from 1740s, 50s, all the way up to modern day. We end it with the last publication of the Express Times in Easton, which was in February of 2025.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Wow. And how long will that exhibit be open?
Great question. We are looking ahead to Heritage Day of 2026, which is July 11th. So we will keep it up until July 11th, 2026.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. Meg, you have such enthusiasm for this work. Where did that come from?
I don't know. You'll have to ask my mom. But no, I really do passionately believe in the work. It's so important. Every single day I get up and I love my job. I love my work. My coworkers are a dream to work with. I have such a joy working with them, including the Board of Trustees. They're such great people. And if you can harness all this gorgeous talent and let's, get all the troops moving in the same direction, it's just a huge success, But I'm just so honored, to work with the team. I really do think our team is the best in the Valley. Sorry, other museums, but it's a joy to work with the team.
Gosh, that's so wonderful. I know they feel the same. You mentioned other museums. We always talk about on this program the beauty of collaboration in the Lehigh Valley. Do you have any examples about how you collaborate with other museums?
Yes. Yeah, so many. We really, and we felt it especially during COVID, but we felt it before. You've got to be brothers in arms. You got to be in the trenches together. And that is certainly what the museum industry and the arts and the cultural community in the Lehigh Valley is all about. That's our DNA. So it was even over, probably 12 years ago at this point that, and I'm proud that I was in the room, but Northampton County Historical and Genealogical Society, we founded Passport to History. So what that is, and it's still going strong today, it's a collaboration of over 77 museums, historical societies, archives, libraries in the region that have come together. I'm proud to say that we are the second largest in the country. San Diego is a little bit larger than us. They've got like 8 more members, and you better believe we're going to top
after
them.
It. Yes.
Oh, yeah. We meet monthly, and what we're doing is we're sharing certainly what's going on, where we can all collaborate together, and we're putting on, programming for maybe teachers can come and come and learn from us, get some Act 48 credits. We've got a free weekend quarterly. We open our sites for free, but it's also like a therapy session for all of us together to, okay, what's going on? What are you guys up to, especially during COVID? Are you wearing masks? Are you opening yet? So it really is a great resource. So we really throw a lot of our bandwidth around that group, Passport to History. And then another great example is, of course, Lehigh Valley 250. So,
So
truly 5 years ago, we started thinking about 2026 and what it could look like. We partnered up with Lafayette College to get into, I'm not kidding, weekly conversations about what 2026 could look like. And then we we realized, wow, we can collaborate together. We can do joint exhibitions together and joint programming. So the Read This exhibition is actually the first of 7 exhibitions that will open for 2026. But we're all partnered together. And now Lehigh Valley 250 is about 100 different partners in the area. And we're partnering with Philadelphia and Trenton for a bus tour. There's just so much going on. So to kind of land your point, we love collaboration. We really truly feel it's the only way to get through any times. You know, it takes a village to raise a nonprofit, and you gotta work together to get
through. And I've been at some of the meetings and seeing the other culture, arts organizations, nonprofits coming together and all celebrating how they plan to recognize this incredible anniversary of our country. And it, to me, as someone just works corporately, but to see all of that partnership and brainstorming, I just think our community is in for such a treat.
Thank you.
It's really great.
And when you corporate partners like Air Products and Lori, you're so generous, you know, and helpful to us. You amplify us constantly. You know, we're all working in a little bubble. Sometimes we're working so hard. But when you guys come in from outside and you're like, hey, yes, go, keep going. Mm-hmm. That really, really inspires us. So truly, thank you for your support.
Absolutely. And I'm thrilled to be able to see it firsthand. And yes, I'm crying, listeners, because... Again, I get to see the partnership and just your passion along with the other museum directors and people working in the field. Back to you a little bit, Meg. Did you ever dream that this is where you'd end up? Not that you've ended. I don't mean that. That this is a career path that you would follow.
Yes. My great uncle was the executive director at Winter Tour Museum, and he was at Sturbridge Village. So, yes, I loved him. And when he passed away, I remember we got his estate, and I remember seeing all this amazing, these stunning antiques and his collection and his furniture. I always loved art, but once I truly started to understand what a museum executive director did, that's where I wanted to go from 11 years on. So I've been working, you know, academically to get, you know, all the degrees I needed to get. And then, you know, I moved to Pennsylvania, the Lehigh Valley, and I was trying to break into the museum industry as a young professional. And I actually started by volunteering at Historic Bethlehem. And that's where my career started, out of, you know, a simple volunteer position to help the curator there. And I was able to take off with my career, which was so exciting. But Lehigh Valley has such a beautiful arts and, you know, museum cultural industry. And like we said, everybody is so supportive. So it's very easy to kind of work up the ladder.
Absolutely.
And meeting beautiful, amazing mentors all along the way. It's been a pleasure. And my career is about 20 years now I've been in the industry.
Oh, that's fantastic. What about the chance for some of our listeners? How could they get involved? Are there volunteer opportunities with you?
Yes. Like I said, we love our volunteers. And I was a volunteer once. So I always try to make sure our volunteer program is extremely welcoming, extremely friendly. You don't have to be a PhD in history. Everybody, no matter what your background, we've got a spot for you and we need you. So please, please consider volunteering. And that could be anything. Maybe it's helping with the front desk. Maybe it's helping a researcher with doing some research on their family and the library, and you're helping them. Maybe it's helping our curator. We truly have people that come in and help pick up a paintbrush all the way to lead tours. And of course, our board of trustees and our committees. You know, the Lehigh Valley Wine Auction and Gala Committee is one of our strongest committees. So, you know, we call it time, talent, treasure. Any way that you could possibly give back, even if it's a couple hours a month, that is still truly, truly helpful.
And how would our listeners reach out? How would they learn more?
Sure. So please visit our website. If you hop over to sigalmuseum.org, S-I-G-A-L, museum.org, you'll see a support link right at the top, and there's steps to volunteer right there. You'll shoot in some information about yourself. The nicest coworker ever, her name is Sarah. She'll give you an email back, and she'll help you get into the system. And I would also note, we are completely ADA accessible. So if you're somebody differently abled, Sigal Museum is the perfect spot for you. We have elevators, accessible restrooms. We're a fantastic spot for you to be able to volunteer.
Oh, that's perfect. Meg, as we close out our time, anything lasting that you'd like to leave with our listeners?
Sure, sure. You know, I can't be a historian and not look around and see where we are today. Mm-hmm. And it's a difficult spot. Lori knows this, and all my friends know this. My phone screen is George Washington. I love our founding fathers. I love the ideals that they have set up for our country, and we need to live up to them. So we truly invite everybody to come to the museum, you know, learn about history, learn about where our county has been before. Whether you just moved here yesterday from, you know, Puerto Rico or not, you are now a Lehigh Valleyan. You've got a lot to be proud of here in the Lehigh Valley. So please come to the museum. Let's explore history together. And as we enter a once-in-a-lifetime anniversary year next year, truly see how you can be part of it. But no, we're so grateful to the community for wrapping their arms around us. We love you all. We try to provide exhibits and tourism programming for you, and we always want to hear from you. So please do let us know whenever we're not doing our job right. But thank you, Lori, very
Absolutely.
Much.
Thanks. And again, listeners, we were joined tonight by Megan Van Ravensway, and Megan is the executive director of the Northampton County Historical and Genealogical Society. And we'll be right back.
WDIY has been broadcasting since 1995.
This is Mayor Ken Smith. Congratulations to WDIY for signing on the air.
We're with Commissioner Frank Donches of the Bethlehem Police Department.
We welcome Dr. John of the Blend today.
Bob Durow composed, conducted, and played much of the Schoolhouse Rock music.
Three is a magic number.
Stepping the antidote to violence is to speak up against it.
WDIY for 30 years.
Welcome back to A Closer Look. I'm your host, Lori Hackett, and we just had a wonderful conversation with Megan Van Ravensway, who is with the Northampton County Historical and Genealogical Society. And now in the studio, listeners, please join me in welcoming Yusuf Dahl and Dr. Terry Haddad. Hello to you both.
Thank you, Lori. Thanks for having us.
It's a pleasure, Lori.
And both Terry and Yusuf do so much in community. But they are here for a very special reason, because working together, Terry as executive producer and Yusuf as associate producer, recently won an Emmy from the Mid-Atlantic Emmy Awards for a documentary that they worked on together. Congratulations to you both.
Thank you.
Terry, kick us off. Could you tell us a little bit of an overview about the documentary that you did?
Well, it was we were delighted to work with Yusuf to help tell his story in a creative way. Yusuf is a bright light, articulate, easy to work with, had a great story, and we feel really privileged to be able to tell it. And I'll let him tell you more about him and his cause.
So the documentary centers around my state and national effort to repeal the Thurman Amendment, which is a carve-out to the 1988 Fair Housing Amendments Act, which removes fair housing protections as a collateral consequence of any drug-related conviction. And so I've been advocating for this change for a number of years, but any successful advocacy campaign requires great storytelling. And so when the idea was broached, which our host has something to do with, by the way, listeners. Lori played a very important part in bringing this all together. I knew eMedia Works and Terry Haddad was the person to tell this story.
What did that collaboration mean to each of you?
Well, I had the pleasure of working with Yusuf on many things. We were on a housing committee together. I'm impressed with the work he's done at Century Promise. And so the opportunity to tell this important story and to get to know Yusuf on a more personal level. I mean, I know Yusuf as an outstanding executive, but to really sit with him and hear about his life was just it was a wonderful experience, and it made me even more eager to make sure this story was told properly, because he has suffered a terrible injustice along with many other people who've been denied housing. It's just incomprehensible that people can't let go of something they've done 30 or 40 years ago.
What about you, Yusuf? What did working with Terry on this, being so open about your past, what did that mean to you?
Well, part of this work is you have to evince a certain level of vulnerability, right? Because it's, at the end of the day, this advocacy work is rooted in my family's own experience with housing denial. And so when you open yourself up in that way, you want to make sure you're collaborating with a person that's going to capture and portray that in a way that's going to help move the needle and create opportunity for other people. And that's certainly what I think we accomplished with Inequity Indoors.
And I know you've done other films and been featured telling your story. Others, this is the first Emmy for you. Terry, I know for you, this is your 16th Emmy. So congratulations on that. But Yusuf, two questions here. What did it feel like when you saw yourself in this? And could you tell our listeners a little bit about your other experiences with media?
Well, storytelling for change and impact is something that I've been involved with for some time. So I've worked with AMC Networks, and I am a consulting producer on the show Love After Lockup, which portrays intimate relationships with folks who are behind bars. So storytelling for change and impact is something that I've done in the past. But this particular award, it signifies that other folks value the work that you're putting out there, right? We all say, it's not about the awards, and it's not, for sure, right? What's more important for me than the Emmy is that the Thurman Amendment is repealed and 80,000 Pennsylvanians have their fair housing protections restored, right? That without a doubt is paramount. But the level of satisfaction that you receive knowing that a group of professionals, right? This is all judged by media professionals, people like Terry who have been in this business a long time. They look at this work and they say, this is a story that's compelling. This is a story of substance. And this is a story of significance. That was incredibly meaningful.
Terry, thoughts on, you both have mentioned the importance of storytelling. When you approach a documentary, as you did telling Yusuf's story, what are your priorities? That is such a big responsibility, especially with a topic like this.
Well, thank you. It is. And I take it, we take it very, very seriously. You know, we've done a lot of difficult topics, whether it's homelessness or human trafficking or housing inequity indoors. Mm-hmm. We never want to exploit the subject. That's terrible. We're trying to help people. We're not trying to exploit anybody, but we are trying to shed light on an important topic. So, you know, we go to great lengths to show the beauty and the essence of the subject. And my goal is never the trophy. It's the story, but it's also making sure the person feels satisfied with how I told it. Mm-hmm. The last thing in the world I want to do is tell a story that doesn't portray somebody in their best light. So it is a big responsibility. We take it very seriously. And, you know, we're just fanatical about making sure that the essence of the story is told with beauty and goodness and with the right intentions.
And Terry, continuing on that, why do you think documentary film is such an effective method to create society change?
I am a huge, huge champion for educational media. And the reason for that is there's a lot of short form content out there, but it takes a minute to really tell an important story. Mm-hmm. And the beautiful thing about documentaries is we have so many ways of being creative. We get the person's voice. We get the person's image. We can use music. We can use creativity to drive the story, to make the viewer feel something so that we can evoke change. I mean, that's what we want. The other thing is when we make media, we start with three questions. Who's the audience? What are the messages? And what do we want them to do? When we're done telling a story, I want them to be incensed about what happened to Yusuf and do something about it. Mm-hmm. Call your congressman. Join the cause. Sign up for change.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Thank you so much. So, Yusuf, playing off that, what do you hope people will get out of this? What action do you want them to take?
Well, I hope all of our listeners in Pennsylvania contact their local representatives and senators and tell them to support the Pennsylvania Fair Future Act. On Monday, I'm going to Harrisburg, and the Pennsylvania Fair Future Act will move out of the Housing Committee in the House of Representatives. This bill is happening in Pennsylvania And it will happen if we are able to galvanize this community, which I know cares and I know will be incensed by this injustice. We will make this happen, and we will be the first state in the nation to explicitly deal with the Thurman Amendment and restore fair housing protections.
How long have you been on this journey seeking justice?
For over 3 years. My family was denied housing 3 years ago.
And this Emmy, this project, is just another way that you're getting people's attention.
Absolutely. I mean, building awareness, but also this Emmy isn't just for me. This Emmy is for my family who experienced the humiliation of that housing denial. And it's for the 80,000 Pennsylvanians right now who are not able to live where they want, only where they are allowed. And we are going to change that.
Terry, when you spent time with Yusuf, you said you knew him professionally, but then you spent so much time with him. Tell us a little bit more about that experience. This probably happens a lot when you create these documentaries, but could you tell us a little bit more about that journey?
I'm going to choke up now because I typically fall in love with everybody I interview because they're so beautiful. I got to see Yusuf as a father. I got to see him as a little boy when he talked about growing up and some of the tough stuff he went through. So forever, Yusuf will be special to me. And that happens when you take the time to listen. And that's a big thing, you know, for folks listening, just take time to listen more. Mm-hmm. What a different world there is when you just sit with somebody and listen for a while.
And Yusuf, I know you probably spent hours together with Terry and the eMedia Works team. How did you feel about, you knew this was going to be a short documentary, so you didn't really have control over what might be included in the end. Could you talk about what that feeling was like?
Well, in order to evince the vulnerability that's necessary to make a compelling piece, there has to be trust there.
Yes.
In this whole collaboration, this film won an Emmy because of our relationship, because I trust Terry. And I knew it was going to be collaborative. So if there was a cut and I had a difference of opinion, we'd be able to figure that out. Mm-hmm. And so that is the foundation of this award, is the trust that exists between myself and Terry and eMedia Works.
We are almost at the end of our time. I just wanted to get some thoughts from each of you as we close out, something we haven't talked about or just a lesson, having gone through this together, you so deeply, obviously this is your life and your journey that you've shared, that you'd like to share with our listeners.
Well, I encourage them to watch the film and engage in this conversation and engage in the issues that are affecting the folks in our community. So they should continue to follow your show. Details will be announced for our screening and talk back after we screen this film. But I look forward to meeting the viewers who are listening to this today, seeing their reaction, learning how this film made them feel, and ultimately enlisting them in the effort to restore fair housing protections for people who have paid their debt to society.
Thank you. So well said. Thank you. Terry.
Ditto that, right? What else is there to say? Nothing would make us happier than people joining the cause.
Thank you. Well, just thanks to both of you. Just to hear you come together and talk about this collaboration in telling such an important story, we can't thank you enough.
Well, we have to say it. Without you, this story doesn't happen.
100%.
It doesn't happen. 100%. You said to me, you got to talk to Yusuf. You said to him, you got to talk to Terry. You pushed on both ends, and look what we did.
And when I said, I don't know if we should do it, she pushed harder.
Absolutely. Well,
so thank you.
Yes. You're both just incredible human beings, professionals, executives, and we are delighted to be able to celebrate this with you and, of course, Yusuf, to continue to stand by you in your fight for fairness. Listeners, thanks so much again. We've been joined by Dr. Terry Haddad and Yusuf Dahl, who came together, Terry as executive producer, Yusuf as associate producer, for an incredible documentary produced with eMedia Works called Inequity Indoors. We appreciate you taking the time to listen to all of the programming here at WDIY. We look forward to sharing our story next month on A Closer Look.